His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
That's not going to stop me from going down to the Pentagon and praying for our men and women. I just won't be participating in their formal function.
The idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught.
Religious freedom and pluralism necessarily involve discussing, questioning, and even criticizing each other's religions or beliefs.
We need to hear from the pulpit that Christ saved us completely. He's not there to woo us. He's not there to show us how pretty he is. He's done the saving.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
It is difficult to tell what the record is. It's difficult to formulate an opinion on someone who, to this point, has not served as a judge and yet has been nominated to be on the highest court in the land. A Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, selected by President Barack Obama as a replacement for John Paul Stevens. And there's a lot of speculation and not a lot of facts. It's difficult to know exactly where she stands on a lot of particular issues, although she has quite a pedigree. I mean, Dean of Harvard Law is no small thing, and she served in White Houses before. We're going to talk about President Obama's selection of Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the U.S. Supreme Court and the growing intolerance of the gay rights movement with Jennifer Roback Morse. For the next hour of Issues Etc., greetings and welcome. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's May the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation with Jennifer, we'll turn on to Cyril of Alexandria, going back to the 5th century, a time when it was very difficult to be a Christian. There was some persecution that had come early in that, and then once Christianity became illegal, it got all mixed up with the politics. And Cyril of Alexandria is a great example of a mix-up of theology and politics. We'll talk a little bit about that with Pastor Heath Curtis. And then I'd like you to join us as well in the next hour. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio. TalkBack@IssuesETC.org, TalkBack@IssuesETC.org, or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
As an advocate for traditional marriage, a pro-life supporter, what do you think of President Obama's selection to replace John Paul Stevens?
Well, I have to say, as a non-professional court watcher, I'm as mystified as everybody else about Elena Kagan and what she actually believes and what she might do on the court. But I think it's instructive for your listeners to realize that the bruising confirmation battle that's likely to come up, that's not how it always used to be, that the fights over Supreme Court nominees really began in the post-Roe versus Wade era. The big first terrible battle was over Robert Bork, and the large issue was he going to vote to preserve the abortion rights that had been established by Roe versus Wade? And so I think that's instructive because what it's telling you is that the social regime that the left is trying to create in America that we've talked about many times before on this show, Todd, that left-wing regime of abortion on demand and families optional and all of the rest of the things we talk about, that can only be sustained by the Supreme Court. That is not something that occurs naturally, that is sustained naturally by the activities of people trying to order their lives and make sense of their lives. People don't vote for these things. People don't want these things. So The regime that includes abortion on demand and now the redefinition of marriage and the redefinition of parenthood and all of these things that are part and parcel of lifestyle left, that can only be sustained by controlling the courts. And that's why the arguments over the Supreme Court nominees are so bitter and so, you know, really intellectually disreputable half the time. You know, they don't seem to be about anything substantial, but always the subtext is, what are they going to do about these social issues that the left values so much and that the right would really like to change?
So just thinking in terms of the political calculus, is it a smart idea, given that she has very little record, she hasn't served on the bench, she obviously is a good legal mind in terms of her qualifications there, but given that and the fact that this is a wash in terms of the makeup of the court, on those social issues, is it worth those who want to see traditional marriage protected, want to see life from beginning to end protected, to go and spend all their ammunition on this particular Supreme Court nominee?
You know, that's something that's really hard for me to answer because that's not the kind of political calculation that I'm used to making. To me, everything's an opportunity for explaining the issues, you know. And so I don't know that I'm going to say too much about Elena Kagan particularly because she doesn't have a record to talk about. But any opportunity for talking about these issues and educating the public about the issues is always a good thing, always welcome. You know me, Todd. I want to turn everything into a national seminar on whatever the topic is. And so if I were doing that, I suppose I would be out there, you know, doing whatever possible to publicize the issue. But in point of fact, my chosen field where I think the highest leverage is working with the college students here at the Ruth Institute, trying to help the college students understand what the issues are and realize that the so-called freedom and liberation that they're being offered by the lifestyle left is really an illusion and is really not going to make them happy and is going to have a lot of hidden costs that are going to come at them down the road when they've already made choices that commit them to certain things that are going to be hard to undo. So I for my money, the best use of my time for sure is to spend my time working with the college students through the Ruth Institute. And of course I would always invite your readers to and listeners to be involved with us in that work because you know that's going to pay off.
Real quickly, you use a term here several times, lifestyle left.
Yes,
unpack that for me.
That's my own invention, Todd, because I don't know what else to call these people, the lifestyle left, because that means it can include anybody who believes that that it's possible to organize your lives without any structure, without any institutional structure, that marriage is optional, commitment is optional, one parent, two or three parents, it's your choice, you know, that kind of person who sees freedom as meaning that we get to do whatever we want, that's what I call the lifestyle left. And so it includes Democrats and some people in the Republican Party, and it includes a lot of libertarians these days.
Let's talk a little bit about what you call the growing intolerance in the gay rights movement. And you actually have some firsthand experience with this, the Ruth Institute being subject of a recent blog post. Tell us about
that. Kind of funny, actually, you know, on Mother's Day when everybody else is with their moms or eating turkey or going out for brunch or whatever, some guys over at the Daily Coast found our strategic plan that we had only printed 50 copies of and given out to our supporters. Somehow the guys over at the Daily Coast found our strategic plan, uploaded it onto their site, the Daily Coast website, and then proceeded to write a very nasty, obnoxious blog post against us talking about how we want to turn all women into breeders and so on and so forth. Really, about half the post was about our logo, and the part of the post that was about substantive issues was really quite incoherent. But then throughout the day, on Mother's Day, there's like 250 comments that people posted, you know, complaining about our logo and how we look and things like that. You know, it was really quite, it was almost comical. What it illustrates is that it's easier for them to talk about, to call us names, than it is to actually engage the substance of the issues. They think there's something sinister about us wanting to reduce the divorce rate and wanting to reduce the out-of-wedlock childbearing rate and wanting to somehow confront the demographic winter problem. They don't have anything to say about any of that. They just want to call us names about it. So, again, I think whoever this guy is, his name is Dante, is his screen name. Whatever it is he thinks, I don't know if he's gay or not, you know, but it's part of this broad left-wing coalition, you see, that thinks that freedom means getting to do whatever you want, and that freedom doesn't include any thought to what the long-term consequences are going to be, or what are the consequences going to be for the next generation. That's the way these people think. And so, yeah, we're getting attacked by them, we're getting swarmed by them, and it's going to be a really good thing, I think, for the Ruth Institute.
With only about a minute here before we take a break, and I'd like you to stay with us for just a few minutes on the other side, what do you know about Daily Kos?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Daily Kos is actually one of the biggest left-wing blogs out there, Todd. It's part of the George Soros machine, and George Soros has put a lot of money, as you know, into different aspects of building up the left-wing coalition. And, you know, by some accounts, the Daily Kos, or Daily Kos, however you say it, by some accounts, they are part of what helped get Barack Obama elected, because they were, you know, blogging about him every day, and they've got, I suppose, thousands of regular readers and so on, and so they keep in touch with those people and raised money for Barack and the whole thing, you know. So they're actually, it's good. It's like being, for us, it's great. It's like being attacked by somebody really big, and you know, here's this little instrument of this of the George Soros machine, and they're going after me and Jamie sitting at my dining room table running the Ruth Institute. I think it's quite cool that we've attracted that much attention.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with her talking about the growing intolerance of the gay rights movement. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 11th, and you can join us as well. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. After a little more conversation with Jennifer, we'll have the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll talk about Cyril of Alexandria with Pastor Heath Curtis.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the growing intolerance in the gay rights movement. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. Before we let you go, Jennifer, I'd like your reaction to something that was written in the Daily Kos blog about the Ruth Institute. Just your reaction with a minute or two. It reads, "The real mission of the Ruth Institute is to erase the gains that women have made with regard to their social, economic, and sexual liberation and ensure that they become baby factories." Your rebuttal, if you will.
Well, baby factories. You know what? This poor man is a walking cliche emitter. I mean, the poor guy, those are all the old tropes of the leftist movement that have been used to silence people and keep people from asking any questions about what they're advocating. So the short version is, no, I don't want any woman to be a baby machine because I don't want anyone to be a machine of any kind. That's completely ridiculous. But what I do think is that the left takes credit for everything good that has ever happened since 1965. They take credit for every woman who's ever been to college since 1965, but they refuse to take the slightest responsibility for anything that has gone wrong as the result of their social policies. And I think it's about time that they did, that they were held accountable for some of the human misery that has directly resulted from many of the things that they advocate. And so I'm not ashamed to say that I think it's a good thing to lower the divorce rate. I think it's a good thing to lower the out-of-wedlock childbearing rate. I think it's a good thing for young people to be informed about marriage before they, during their college years, so that they don't postpone marriage and childbearing until they're 35 and then wonder why it's not working out for them. You know, I just think there's so much misinformation and so much honest-to-goodness propaganda out there. And that little sentence that you quoted from the Daily Kos is an example of it. I mean, how many more cliches could he string together in one sentence? It's quite astonishing, actually.
Folks, you can find out more about the Ruth Institute. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, thank you again.
Thank you.